Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted SEO podcast host, and I'm here with an OG villain, Robert Spinrad of SEOM Interactive. I'd like you to give an introduction to the poor folk out there who haven't come across you yet, and tell them what you've been working on for the past couple of years that's given you the level of SEO expertise that we should respect.
All right. Well, first, happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's my first podcast guest appearance, so I'm excited to be here. So SEOM, we are an agency just outside of Philadelphia. We've been in business since 08, so quite some time. We have our bread and butter. We do SEO, PPC, social media, PR, content, and email, mostly for small to medium-sized businesses. I'd say our bread and butter tends to be home services, so painters, designers, decorators, but we also work in the legal space. We have some funky, like, one-off clients, an amusement park, a price gun manufacturer. So we'll take all kinds of clients, but we have our bread and butter. And so I joined the team in 2015 out of college, and I had no experience, truthfully, with SEO. Honestly, I didn't even know what SEO was, to be quite frank. but I feel like most don't until they're in it. I think you learn more about it now in school. I think colleges do have maybe not a major, but there's more focus on it. So I think people know about it today. But back then, I had no idea, I'll be honest. I went to school, to Temple, really for communications. My major was emergent media, which was really just a way of saying, we're going to give you a broad knowledge of a little bit of video, a little photography, some copywriting, a little bit of web development, mm-hmm. but kind of like a jack of all trades major.
Yeah.
So I didn't know much about it. I did write for a local paper. I wrote nothing local at all. I wrote about actually like technology and society and how it kind of impacts our lives, but nothing local. But the editor was great and kind of gave me like free rein to just write and just, you know, express myself. So I think that when I applied for the job, I think having experience in writing, a little portfolio, and a kind of, you know, knowledge of different things helped me get my foot in the door. And from there, our team was about like 12 to 15 people back in 2015. And I liked it. I think I did well. And things, you know, snowballed. They had great training. We were really good in terms of, you know, equipment and training and just bringing our people up. And I think that helped me progress. About 4 years ago, we had like an org structure in our company. And we promoted within someone, Lindsay, who's now our SEO director, and then myself as the associate. And I think in the past, call of 4 years, we've done a great job with, I think, just, you know, enforcing more self-education, more and more collaboration. I think, you know, having AI kind of come on the scene the past, I don't know, 3 years maybe.
Yeah.
Gave us something to really dive into and like talk about. So it was a really nice time to sort of have that new promotion, that new role. And I'm loving it. I really love what I do. I like to work with the team. I still do account management. I have clients still, but I really love to talk to, you know, our team and just progress the company forward. I really do credit, I think, that early paper, having that experience, just expressing myself, improving, you know, communication, which I think is probably invaluable. Honestly, I think that will always help you progress in some aspect. And here we are, and there I am today.
When you're having those internal dialogues, what have been some of the recurring conversations over the past 2 years where you're coming back and gnawing on the same problem? Maybe coming up to different solutions, maybe it's unsolved. What's a recurring theme you're seeing in those convos?
Probably no surprise here. I'm going to say AI. I think everyone does now. I think at first it was, okay, AI, Chat, Gemini, et cetera, they are here. It's a thing. Maybe overblown, maybe not, but we have to learn about it. We have to at least, you know, get the subscription, experiment, learn how these things work. But I think the past few months, maybe 4 or 5 months, I think the focus shifted from just learning about it to actually, okay, how can we not optimize for the platforms, but, you know, we believe that good SEO does result in good AI visibility. I think it's a very blanket statement. I think a lot to unpack there, which we totally can. But I think we've started to talk a bit more about how can we prove to these LLMs that we are the trustworthy businesses? Like, how can we earn their trust? So don't optimize for the platforms, but, you know, improve your site in a way that these platforms will actually trust you and use you in their results.
I think that's a good perspective, because if you go down the carrot stick path and like, oh, what's working right now is kind of a different question, because that's led to the proliferation of, you know, listicles everywhere. And, you know, the reports are starting to come out, you know, the hints coming out from Google's team. I think Lily Ray had something a week or two ago saying, hey, Google saying, we're going to turn the screws on this on the organic side, which is kind of, it's an interesting play. It's an interesting challenge for Google, because if traditionally, you know, almost the majority of spam in the past 10, 15 years has almost all been on the link building side. It's been a long time since we've had Panda coming in and messing things up. And we never had anything really focused on, oh, you're abusing mentions. How dare you go get more mentions of yourself somewhere abusively? It hasn't been something that's been a type of spam that they've quashed before. I've been around the block. I've been in it since 2007. So about as long as your agency has been around. And there's always the tactic du jour that gets overplayed, and then Google has to come in. First, it was reciprocal links between sites. And I have to confess to my audience, I am the reason why reciprocal links got killed by Google. Admit it, I was a lowly customer support representative, and I didn't know what I was doing when I suggested for our real estate website hosting company that the realtors wanted to reciprocally link to each other. So I said, hey, developers, can you put a map of America and make 50 pages so they can swap links with each other based off of the state that they're in? Well, I didn't know that our 20,000 realtors would go cuckoo banana go nuts and create the world's largest reciprocal link spam network in the history of the internet. But 20,000 realtor sites all in the same C block, all linked up. We got smashed. Every website lost its visibility, and we had to pay Greg Bozer to go and beg to be released from our imprisonment. And then they said, you got to remove all those pages. And Matt Cutts even replied to an angry realtor who didn't believe us when we told him, yeah, Google's against reciprocal links now. He went and confronted Matt Cutts at a, I think it was a SEM conference, and said, reciprocal links are respected, right? And, you know, they're my hosting company is lying. And Matt's like, no, you totally abused reciprocal linking. It's dead. It might come back in a smaller amount later, but I apologize to everybody
who was, hey, we learned, you know. we move on from it. Do you know what my fear is? It's kind of funny you mention that. My fear is that, so when I first joined, I feel like SEO was starting to get a bit of a better reputation, kind of coming out of that spammy reputation. There are more penalties. We moved a bit more towards, you know, like quality content. It took time to get there, but we're moving in the right direction. I'm a little scared that we're going to go backwards now. And my fear is that, look, these platforms, they hallucinate, you know, they give you junk content a lot of the time. And my fear is that people are going to think that we are just putting out content just to put out content and get that real quick, you know, boost. And then I'm worried that we're going to go backwards here. What do you think?
I think I think quality control within the industry is a subtopic that does recur when I'm talking to people that have been doing this for a while. We all have those reputation challenges from the, you know, I think it was Alejandro Mayorkas. He said, if it makes money online, you are going to have a problem.
Yeah.
And it was Timothy Malmros, who's in the Black Hat. He used to be in the Black Hat space directly in the casino space, came out of it, retired. Now he's kind of an investigative journalist, but hey, if there's money, there's a spammer.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
And we, you know, I do fear a bit of more sullied reputation, but it's almost as long as we don't lump ourselves into the LinkedIn proclaimers of the new age of AI LLM superiority and kind of lean back a bit and say, okay, that's one thing. They're going with the new shiny. And I felt this like in interviews over the last year, there was, you know, around last August, a real palpable sense of like defeatedness in the SEO space because CEO's heads were totally turned by this new shiny and every new client demanded it. Budgets were getting cut, agencies let go. I know personally of, you know, multiple $1 million contracts to content writers, genuine human content writing teams being redirected to LLM tools, spamming out the, you know, what they wanted to. So the pain was real because the CEO's heads got turned. But I think after now, 6 months, a year, those same CEOs are dealing with the numbers and saying, you know what, this time in Q1 we have data to compare as a channel. And as awesome as it is, you know, Paul Batterina, who I interviewed, there was Revolve, a very big brand, and the number was staggering how many how much traffic they were reporting, like 20,000-30,000, you know, visitors in a month from LLMs. Sounds great, but
Here's the but. Right,
the but is in comparison to the 200,000 visitors from Google Organic. It's nothing, and you know, it's there's my favorite cartoon is the Venture Brothers, and there's a character who shrinks down to the size of an ant, and he's like, well, you know, they make big claims about the power of the ants, but 100, you know, they're 100 times stronger than humans, but 100 times nothing is nothing.
Right. Good. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I like that. I think you're right. I think there has to be a separation between, I think, the ones that do it right and the ones that are going to capitalize on this latest trend. But they won't be there long term. I think if we can maybe outlast them, we'll be okay. Yeah. I think it might be a bumpy ride, but I think if we can get past this initial, you know, sequence, we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
I think the mindset though is right. Of me and my wife have a saying that more than one thing can be true at the same time, and finding the truth of what is it that is both being measured and can be improved through SEO processes is true across LLM tools, within traditional Google results, RAG results, other search engines. What is it that fits in all the way through? Because then if you're optimizing SEO for authority, there's so much that you can do to improve the authority that also moves the needle in terms of rankings.
Exactly.
The link building, getting placements on sites that are closer to quote unquote seed, that are, you know, the basis for trust rank. You know, Bill Slosky's seminal work before he passed away, like a lot of the patent analysis he did points out that, hey, link building isn't just the surface level, it's the transference of trust and the use of trust rank in addition to page rank algorithm. And it's tossing all that aside for the new shiny kind of defeats the big window opening for me of, I almost don't have to give my whole link spiel speech anymore. I can say, hey, we need to get mentioned in more places on the internet. And that's true both for LLMs and for Google. And now I don't have to say, oh, well, there's this algorithm and we, you know, there's this PageRank algorithm. And I swear, if you give me half of the budget that you're going to spend for marketing, I'm going to get a blue link on another site. And I swear to you, this is totally worth it. This is worth thousands of dollars, multiple people working, like, it's ta-da, it's done, here's a link. Now the convincing process, hey, they're looking for references to trusted sources, whether it's linked or not. I'm going to try to go get you mentioned places, and the more places that I can get you mentioned and linked, I'm going to do that too.
That's great. Right? Sounds great.
Exactly. I'm curious, as an agency working with your accounts, is AI the biggest pain point that you're dealing with, or which side of AI are you feeling the pinch from? Is it from the operations side of how do we leverage these tools appropriately? How do we work in these new workflows to harness greater capacity and capability so that we can offer the new accelerated model? Because if you try to offer the same agency offer that was put out in 2015, you're going to die. Sure. Because 4 articles a month on, you know, your $2,000, $4,000 retainer, no way.
Yeah.
The client's not going to go for it. They have, one of my interviewees said, everybody is getting the same advantage opportunity at the same time.
Yeah.
So if you are not adopting AI-based tools into your workflow, it's not that they're going ahead, it's that you're falling behind.
Yeah. It's a good point. You know, I think the first thing we do as an agency is we're very transparent. I think, so we started very small. Now we're called 40 some odd people. Still small, but not as small as we were. I think we retained that small agency, customer service centric feel that we had 10, 12, 14 years ago. So I think while we adopt all these platforms and we do experiment, we do all these different things now that we can unpack in a moment, I think we're also transparent in saying that, you know, we're learning. We're all learning. I think we encourage clients to be wary of people saying they are AI experts, because this whole thing is brand new. We're all learning. There are people who know a lot more than others. Sure. Yeah. But I'm nervous to say there's any experts yet. So first we're transparent. We say we are learning. We do use chat. We do use Claude a lot more now. Claude is definitely, you know, been talked about more recently. I do a lot of interviews for potential interns and hires. And I'm hearing a lot more people in school or out of school just talking about Claude more. Whereas a year ago, it was a lot more chat. Everyone knew chat, a little bit of Gemini, but now it's Claude. So we are using all these platforms. But I think the challenge for us is not so much the operational as it is telling our clients that, you know, don't take advice from AI. Don't take SEO advice from AI. Right? You should be curious. You should always want to know what we're doing. You should always want to, you know, whoever you're buying something from or taking a service, ask questions, educate yourself. But know that we've been doing this for quite some time, and even though we're still learning, we still are the Maybe experts. It's a tricky term because in this industry, no one's really ever the expert. We're still learning. But trust us, right? We'll be transparent. We will tell you wins and losses. We will tell you what we're doing, how we're trying to implement these things. But trust us. So it's not so much the operational. We will use platforms for efficiency, for creativity, for brainstorming. We do write content for our clients. So sometimes these platforms are great for thinking of different ways to phrase things, curbing, writer's block. Writing a lot of content can be tough sometimes. So a couple of ways to use it there. Claude's great for more, I think, technical requests. I think these platforms are really good for schema too. I think it's a really good way to build out a big block of schema. So it's not so much the operational as it is telling our clients to, you trust us more than you trust the LLMs for SEO advice.
I was talking with Jordan Fernandez yesterday. He's doing his SEO company in Tucson, and he reminded me that LLM tools can never have experience. Yeah. They can cite experience. They can reference things.
Right.
Reference a lot of things, but they didn't experience it.
Yeah.
And that is why you're hiring a person.
Right.
Because a person can take the viewpoint of a previous experience and quickly match what, like, all the nuance of that data set of that experience from that context and strip away what's similar, strip away what's different. Because what the LLMs have trained on is what is published.
Right.
And if anybody, Matt Brooks of SEOteric says, you don't give away your $1 million baby in your blog article.
Right.
You're going to want to show your expertise. Yeah.
Right.
But
sure.
That golden goose very rarely gets put out on display in that blog.
Yeah.
So, it's learned from 1,000 SEO articles, sure. But were those SEO articles written by Rand Fishkin, or were they 1,000 articles written by Neil Patel?
Right. And that's the problem, right? Anyone can be an expert nowadays. Anyone can publish stuff and they'll get picked up. And that's a challenge. I think you said it perfectly. They don't know experiences, right? But we do. So we talk to the clients. We talk to people. I think it's important to recognize that every business is run by a person or people. Oftentimes in our agency, it's families, it's mom and pop shops, small to medium size. And we spend time to get to know people, understand their business, their pain points, their seasonality. The platforms, they're not going to know that. So I think you're spot on. They're not going to get that experience, at least not now. Hopefully never, but right now, they don't have that experience. I think a good term I want to use is, we're humble experts, right? Like we know what we know, but we also know we don't know, and that's okay. We'll keep learning.
So I've been dinking around with my new ZapDigits dashboard. I came from Raven Tools, steeped in the lore of rankings and how to grab metrics. But I'm always curious when I talk to agency folks, what are you reporting and why?
So for monthly reporting and reporting data?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you reporting and why?
So our reports are pretty on the nose, to be honest with you. We report on the general GA4 data, like visits and top pages and things like that. But our main focus is really the revenue / the leads. Whatever your goal is, that's our focus. I think on our site, we've had this headline for the beginning of time, which is not about clicks, it's about results, right? Clicks are great. Numbers are great. But when it comes down to it, I think what people care about is how much money am I making? How many calls am I getting? Whatever your conversion is, how many of those am I getting? So our reports are data centric, obviously, but the main takeaway is the leads, revenue, conversions. We used to, I think, put maybe more into them, but then we realized that business owners either A, don't really care to read all this information, or B, don't really know what we're giving them. So what we learned the past few years is that let's give them what really matters in terms of their business, revenue, et cetera. And then let's get in a call, a video call or a conference call, and let's talk through it. Let's explain that things are up, things are down, here's your revenue, but how can we go from there? How can we either improve or how can we keep hopefully the trend going up? So we report on data, but we focus on the money, the big ticket items at the end of the day.
If I could give you a soapbox that would reach all of your potential clients and customers, what would you tell them that they should be looking at in this next couple of years as far as SEO? What should they be paying attention to?
I think that business owners should pay attention to or try and find a way to show off their expertise, show off their specialty without blasting it across the internet. And what I mean is, I think if we're going to agree that the platforms look for trust signals, look for reasons to trust you, we can all get trust signals. We can all, pay for links and we can all manipulate the systems. But I think the owner should find a way to really, show people that we are the company you want to work with, whether that's putting out helpful content that's not behind a paywall, maybe not, like you said, the $1 million baby, but some kind of helpful content, whether that's getting listed on the right websites, BBB, Avvo in the legal space, whatever your specific industry is, on the right places. And honestly, the biggest thing really might be reviews. I think reviews have always been there, whether it's Google or on-site or other platforms. I think for a while it became just like a thing you do. You don't think about it. You get reviews. Sure. But now I think you have to focus even more on reviews. And I think it's more of a collective approach. It was Google for a while. That was the platform. Yelp has time. It's kind of been a little bit of an up and down for Yelp. But, if you do a search for a local business or whatever in Chat or Gemini, and you look at the sources, you can see, what they're citing. And often you'll find it is Yelp, it's BBB, it's industry specific sites, it's Facebook, etc. So I think I would say two things. Show off your expertise, right? Build your trust with your potential clients and focus on reviews in a natural and authentic way, right? Get reviews on the right plate, in the right places.
Obviously, that's really connected on the local service side. Is that the primary? That's a big focus. What are the other things right now that you're focusing on for those local service folk? Is it full expansion of GBP? Is it posting photos on the regular there? Are citations a thing? Are they a big thing, a small thing? How do citations play into LLMs? What's the local pages? What's your take?
Yeah, local pages are still a thing. I think digital PR is back. I think PR is having a moment. I think a lot of what we do is, again, we work with home service businesses. So getting high quality links and mentions can be easy, but it's low quality. I think it's much more challenging but rewarding to get the right kinds of links. So we have an internal PR team who often says, here are opportunities for a mention or a backlink. Can you give a quote from the owner? No AI response accepted. So an actual, owner generated response. So I think that's one of the things that we're pushing is some digital PR, getting the right mentions. GBP is huge for us. We of course want to have every profile fully built out. That includes reviews. That includes Google posts. I think early on they were used more for social media, just posting anything and everything. But now it's more telling people why they should click through, why they should call you, like using it for promotions, for events, upcoming events, using beginning and end dates, making the actual post more impactful, well beyond just here's a social media type post. It should be on Facebook probably. I think in our industry, a lot of the clients have work to show, whether it's like a case study, a photo, things like that. Video content is still, I think, pretty important. So it's a challenge, but it's helpful when clients do give us stuff to work with, point blank, right? So like, give us the content, we'll work with that. So some of those things.
I worked with a local construction company here in Cookeville, and we just did a community cleanup in a park. And there's a surprising amount of links. There's community specific event pages. We got a link from City Hall. So doing things in the real world,
yes,
and making sure that you're maximizing. It's not just organizing the thing; it's actually thinking about that through the looking glass. I tend to think of like the website and the presence and references as like the digital shadow of your company.
Sure.
And it's much easier if you, in the real world, you are doing things that are making your company stand taller. And then your work on the digital side is to try to sketch in, hey, this event is happening. This link connects here. And, we worked with this charity. Let's make sure this is linked here, and connect out those dots, because it's in the real world. But you can do, you can show up at the park on Saturday with your trailer that's branded with your roofing company. But if you don't list it online, then it's not going to have an impact. If nobody mentions it, if nobody posts about it on Reddit, if nobody how is Google or the other search tools or anybody going to know about it that wasn't physically there? Just kind of look at, are there aspects of the company that could be painted in online through placement, through promotion, social media mention, multiple platforms, link building?
Yeah, I love that. Our team, we just discussed, talking to clients. We always tell everyone to ask their clients, what are they doing, right? In the real world, what are they doing? Well, we just had a discussion about the Monday about community involvement and how to leverage that. And I know that some people don't want to think of that as like a chance to, to gain traction or visibility. But I think in this day and age, that stuff does move the needle. And it also feels authentic as like a potential customer to see that. I love that kind of stuff. You have to find a way to, not brag, but promote you being a good person, promote your company being a good, a good group to work with. So I love that.
I'm going to give you a chance, as we kind of wrap up here. Sure. What's a question I should ask the next SEO? What's a challenge that you've been scratching your head on, you'd like input on? There's always room for that. I'm trying to improve. So, if I know a better question to ask the next person, I'll ask them and they'll ping you when their episode comes out and they answer it.
Okay. I think I would. It's not so much a challenge or a way to improve, but I'm really curious how other SEOs feel about the future. Because when I started 10 years ago, it's a very different landscape. I didn't know what to expect, but the ride was fun. It was fun up until this point, because the job's not stale. Things are always changing and you're, pivoting and maneuvering. So I think I want to ask the next person, what are they excited for the next couple years? Is it the continued growth of AI? Is it maybe something else? Is it maybe going back to like our roots and trying to just make the websites just more authoritative and just overall better experience? What are they looking forward to? What's their next, thing?
Love that. Give a shout out to your company. Anything cool coming up with y'all? If you're showing up to any local conferences or have any cool tools that you published or articles?
Yeah, so we're SEO Interactive. We publish content on our site. We've got a few things in the works now. One is actually about not trusting AI for SEO advice. So working on that piece, I should get that done in a little bit, maybe a couple weeks, it'll be out there. Nothing really coming up in the real world, but we do have an internal conference in a few weeks. So our team will gather. We'll all share knowledge, just catch up. We are virtual, so it's nice to come together. And yeah, I think we're a great team. If anyone's looking for a local agency, please give me a shout. Love to talk to you. And yeah, thank you very much. This is a real pleasure.
Thanks for coming on board.